Hallelujah. Let's take our Bibles and our little lesson books, and we'll open up to the third lesson today, which is Noah. Noah. Bible reading is in Genesis chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Did you bring your pens? Who needs a pen? Everyone have your pens, pencils? I've told you about my mother. She went to be with the Lord in 2014. But for many years, we were here at camp together, the three of us, my dad, my mom, and myself. And she was one that she would say, "All right, hold up your books. Let me see your books. Let me see your books." And she would check to see if you're writing something in their books. So I'm not going to do that. You have to show me your book. But the idea was that it helps us. It helps us be a good student of the Bible. Be a student of the Bible. We give ourselves to so many other things. But if you become a student of the Bible and you love your Bible, it'll have eternal value and blessing. So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that how it starts? Let's read it together. Let's see. 6:5. I guess the backdrop, though, for this is found in verse 5. This whole story of Noah finds its context in the wickedness of the world. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Can you think of that? The imagination, the thinking, the thoughts of man was evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That's just a wonderful verse for me, because it shows me that God made me in his image. In this sense, that here God is said to have a heart or feelings. It says that he can be grieved. And when he looked down upon the world, he was grieved to the heart. It repented him, and it pained him in his heart. Now, I know that as we read through the chapters here, we don't maybe get the context or the time frame here. How long do you think it was from the beginning, from creation to this chapter? Any idea? Was it 100 years? It's only 5 chapters. It can't be that long. How long is it? Well, I don't have it exactly right. I mean, I can't say what I'm going to tell you is exactly right, but it's in the neighborhood of maybe 2,000 years. 1,500 to 2,000 years. It seems that people lived much longer in those days, right? You see fellows who lived to be 365 and 800 years. And when God appears to Noah, how old is he?
600.
He's 500 years old already, right? God appears to him at 500 years old. We don't really understand that, right? How could you live that long? I'm 50 and I'm 500 years. But in that time, the corruption, the evil, the wickedness, sin had done its work. Sin had permeated society. Sin had entered and taken control of the hearts of men, women. If you remember the word that God said to Cain, he said, "Sin is right at your door. He's wanting to have you. But you have to overcome." And for most people, for the majority of people, they gave in to the sinful pleasures and the sinful nature. And the enemy had his way in lives. And And so God says in verse 7, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now just take a moment and think about that. Here God is saying, I'm going to destroy everything I've made. I'm going to destroy this world. I'm going to destroy everything, everyone, every living thing that breathes the air. I'm going to destroy. Now, I just thought about this a little bit as I was reading. I said, I wonder if God would have done that. I mean, completely. Do you think God could have just destroyed everything and started over? I mean, if he created it once, could he have created it again? I think so. But here's a but. Why didn't God do that? Why didn't God destroy everything and just start over? What does it say? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It seems that this one man, one man, was righteous. I don't really understand that. I don't know. Maybe the other patriarchs, we know Enoch was taken, right? Enoch was translated, and we don't know about Methuselah or Noah's father, who was that Lamech. Somehow, Noah had a relationship with God. Somehow. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, why? Why was it so? Why, when God looked down, did he have favor upon Noah? And instead of just wiping out the entire earth, you know, when you consider, and this is a little aside, when you consider our little earth in the scope of the universe that we know, the known universe, it's like a speck. It's like, you know, if there was a little flyer that just went boom, like that. God could have just taken this world and annihilated everything on it. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Or this is the account. This is the story of his life. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. I like this in the NIV. It says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. Now just consider that. We just read that the thoughts and the imaginations of the hearts were evil continually, and the violence and the wickedness had filled the earth. And in the midst of that, Noah walks with God. Noah is just. Noah is righteous. Noah is blameless. And so there's no excuse for us to say, well, you don't know, Brother Phil, you don't know where I come from, you don't know the neighborhood I live in, you don't know the school I go to, you don't know all the bad people that surround me. God is able to keep us. God is able to empower us to live for him, to walk before him in holiness and righteousness, to be just, to be righteous. The just shall live by faith. There is a righteousness in the gospel that is available to everyone who believes. Hallelujah. And Noah walked with God. So not only Enoch, but Noah was one who walked with God. And we're going to find as we continue on with this account, these stories in Genesis, that there were men and women who walked with God. in spite of all that was going on around them, in spite of the paganism and the evil that surrounded them, they walked with God. It's an encouragement to me, and it ought to be an encouragement to you, that we too can walk with God. He's able to keep us, to present us faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. He's able to keep us from falling. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth, again, was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So God finds Noah, a man who's walking with him, and he begins to speak with him. I don't know, I won't say that this was the first time, but it's the first time recorded that God speaks to Noah. And these are the words. The end of all flesh is come before me. The NIV puts it this way. I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. But now he goes on and he gives Noah the plan. This is what I want you to do. And I think this is the thing that is recorded for us in Hebrews 11. It says, so make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and cubits shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. From under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Now, what would you do if you were in Noah's place? What is God asking him to do? And why does it seem, I just wrote down things, this request that God made, it almost seems impossible. How was Noah going to build this boat? Because that's what it was, or ship, right? How was he going to do that? Do you know the dimensions of it? What does the NIV say? How big was it?
75 feet wide and
45
feet high.
How many feet high?
45.
45? And 450 feet long? Mm-hmm. I think that's a little bit bigger than Brother Tom's sailboat. Just a little bit. Three stories? You see that? Now, the thing that makes it so impossible and also improbable, and it also makes no sense, is that it probably had never rained before. And Noah was not situated near a great body of water where he could launch his boat. And so when God says to Noah, I'm going to bring a flood upon the earth, I'm not sure Noah fully understood what that meant. And I want you to build this big, big building. I want you to build this ark. And the story, and we're not going to take the time to read it all, but then and the story gets better because he tells, and Noah, I'm going to bring all the animals to you, and you're going to bring them, put them in the ark, and Can you see Noah saying, well, Lord, how's this going to work out? How's this going to be? It's never rained. I've never seen a flood. I've never built a boat. And so when he begins to do what God commands him, and that's the thing I'd like to leave with us this morning, that at least two times in this chapter and the next, it says that Noah did all that God commanded him. Noah did all that God commanded him. I don't know if he hired workers to help him, or if it was just his sons and his family that built this ark. It seems that it took almost 100 years from the time that Noah first heard from God, first heard of the flood. He was 500 years old, and then it was in his 600th year that the flood came. Noah did all God commanded him. It didn't make sense. The people around him probably were laughing and saying, Noah, what are you doing? What are you doing? And you want me to help you? You're crazy. And sometimes there are things that the Lord asks us to do that maybe don't make sense to us. Maybe it doesn't make sense to our families. The people we love, they say, why are you so serious about God? Why? Are you sure that God said that to you? I'm sure there were people around Noah who were trying to detract him from doing what God had commanded him to do. And I think if we're determined to follow the Lord Jesus with all our heart, there might not be many who come along with us. But thank God, as Teresa said, there are those that God brings into our lives who encourage us to follow the Lord and to love him. And that's a wonderful thing. What if Noah had said, Lord, I don't understand. And because I don't really understand what you're asking me to do, I'm not going to do it. I don't know how the story would have ended, but I'm sure it would have been different. But Noah obeys and does exactly what the Lord asks him to do. I think this story is one of our favorite Sunday school stories, right? The animals come two by two. It says God brought them to Noah. And of the clean animals, seven. And so Noah's obedience is kind of typified or given shape in that ark. You understand that? The outcome of Noah's obedience is the ark. And that ark becomes the means of salvation for the world. You know, we can say we all came from Adam, right? I can say I've come from Adam. My great grandfather was Adam. I mean, that was his name. But truthfully, we've all come from Noah, right? I mean, that's not a deep theological statement. There, right? If everyone else died and Noah was left, we all came from Noah. Because he obeyed God, he saved his family. He saved the creation that God had made, preserved God's original creation. It's an amazing thing. And I think it hinges on this word of obedience. By faith, Noah, let's read that together. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which by faith. We're told in the book of 1 Peter, or by Peter, that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That not only was he building the ark, but as he was building that ark, he was testifying to those around him that God was going to judge them for their sin. I was reading one commentary, and he said this: if Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 100 years, and no one listened to him, or no one was moved by his message, what was it that he was preaching for 100 years? The point was it that he was ineffective, or that the people's hearts were so hard that they could not respond to this message of righteousness, that you are a sinner, that what you're doing is displeasing to God? Some people have said the way to empty out your church is to tell people the truth. But Noah, because of his obedience to God, it says there in Hebrews that he condemns the world. Beloved, that condemnation still remains, in that a sacrifice has been made. An ark of safety has been provided for mankind to escape the wrath to come. And yet, the Bible record is this, that men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. And the choice is still available to all. Whosoever will may come. The door of the ark is still open. But there's a day coming, beloved, when God will shut the door, just like he shut Noah in. And then the floods came. Then it began to rain, something that had never happened before. It says there, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. It had never happened before. And what's coming upon this world has never happened before. But beloved, it's sure. The judgment of God is sure. And we need to be in that ark of safety, and we need to be doing all that we can to bring others into that ark of safety. Thank God Noah was able to save his family, to bring them into the ark. And what are you doing? What am I doing to point others to Jesus Christ? What am I doing to bring others to that place of salvation? It's interesting that the judgment, the waters that brought judgment and death and condemnation to all the others, were the same waters that lifted Noah above and kept him safe. And God, in his great love, has provided for us this way of escape, this way of salvation, and we do well to enter in. Do all that you can. Parents, do all that you can to secure the salvation of your children. I know that we cannot save them. I understand that. But we can pray for them. And we can believe, and we can live a life. Do you think that the family, you know, maybe they were tempted when they looked at their father to say, "Dad, you know, what are you doing?" And he said, "Sons, don't worry. God spoke to me. This is what we need to do. This is the way. And sons, you will understand. We have to trust God. By faith, Noah. By faith, Noah did something. By faith, he built an ark." It says they're moved with fear, moved with this reverence for God. God had spoken to him. God's word had come to him, and he was not going to let that word of God fall to the ground. And so when God speaks to us, as he is in these days, beloved, let's take his word to heart. Let's learn to obey. Let's learn to do what he requires. There are eternal consequences. When God speaks, there are eternal consequences for you and for me. Let's obey him. Let's say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Maybe I don't understand. I don't always see what you're doing. I don't know, Lord. But Jesus, I trust you. I trust you. And what God requires of us, he enables us to do. What God requires of us, he enables us to do. And so let's take the grace that the Lord gives. And let's learn to obey. To obey the commandments of our Lord. The blessing that came because Noah obeyed. And what blessing will God bring into your life and to the lives of others if we would learn to obey him in all things? And so just to look back a little bit, Abel taught us that we can worship God acceptably because of what Jesus has done for us. And Enoch, well, he taught us that we can walk with God moment by moment, day by day. We can live in his presence. We can have a real, intimate relationship with our God. Jesus can be precious to us. And Noah teaches us that the way of blessing is through obedience. Help us, Lord, to obey. By faith to do what you ask us to do. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no Just respond to the Lord again this morning. You talk to Him. You talk to Him in your heart. Oh Lord, I want to obey. I want to love You, Jesus. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Honey, pray with us, please.
Lord, we do thank You for Your word, Lord. Thank You for the Holy Spirit that empowers Your word and make it real to us. And Lord, we recognize that obedience is a lifelong lesson. And Lord, I just pray that You would strengthen our ability to obey You, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit as we're at camp at this time, Lord. I just pray that You would give us that desire to want to always choose to obey You as opposed to wanting our own way, Lord, that we would be quick to obey You, Lord, without question, without hesitation. We thank You for Noah and for this example that he chose You, Lord, against all impossible, Lord, when it didn't even make sense. And Lord, often You bring us into situations and they don't make sense. And You call us to obey You, Lord, because You want our love. And so, Lord, strengthen our love towards You, Lord, that when we face situations, Lord, we will want to obey You right away. Thank You for Jesus and for the example that He set, that He always did those things that please the Father.
Yes,
and
Lord.
So, Lord, as Your children, we want that to be our testimony as well. Lord, we want to do those things that please the Father. So, Lord, strengthen us, Lord. Make us obedient children. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing number 2 in the white book. Closing. Lord bless you. This afternoon we have staff prayer at 4:15. Everyone is invited to join us at 4:15 for prayer.